It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters. We had a number of letters from listeners upset with my interview with a representative of the Earth Liberation Front on that group's use of arson in the name of environmentalism. This is from David Phillips of Asheville, North Carolina. I was appalled to hear a representative of the Earth Liberation Front justify arson in an attempt to prevent urban sprawl. Their foolish strategy puts them on the same level as the KKK and does more harm to their cause than good. Terrorist tactics such as these will turn the public against them.
Also this from Claude Nicely of Clarkston, Washington. The respect you accorded that man is appalling. The man is a terrorist representing a terrorist organization. They have not killed or injured anyone yet, but they will. Would you have accorded the same level of softball interview and respect to Theodore Kaczynski had you talked with him before he was apprehended?
We also had quite a few letters about the effort to locate the offspring of Screamin' Jay Hawkins. This one is from Pat Jacobs of Pittsburgh. I fail to see the benefit to society of a discussion about a man who fathered as many as 75 children and took no responsibility for any of them. We have enough parents in this country who do not take their responsibilities seriously, and here is NPR devoting a large portion of your program to a man who was perhaps the granddaddy of all irresponsible parents. In all that 22 minutes of airtime, I detected no suggestion that Mr. Hawkins' behavior was contemptible.
But we also heard from John DeCherney of Juneau, Alaska. The segment on the search for the kids of Screamin' Jay Hawkins was 20 minutes of the best radio I've heard in my life.
James Watson writes about Barbara Bradley's examination of two murder cases in Oklahoma and DNA evidence. Kudos to Barbara Bradley for her incisive story on the problems with our criminal justice system as illustrated by the two case studies from Oklahoma. This phenomenon of police-prosecutor collusion to convict innocent people in violation of any reasonable notion of fairness is all too common in this country. It is, in fact, one of the dirty secrets of our democracy and one that cries out for reform.
And finally, a number of people wrote about Brent Runyon's loon call made by blowing through cupped hands. A number of the letters said making that sound was a skill they once had and have lost. That was the case with Karen Morin, who writes from Tampa, Florida. Your report was reminiscent of my childhood in Jacksonville. All us kids in our neighborhood used this whistle to call one another since few of us had phones. We called our neighbor across the creek, our cousins next door, and other playmates down the creek. We never called it a loon call, and as far as I recall, none of the adults could do it or were interested in trying. I learned it from my older sister, and I don't know where she learned it. Strangely, when I tried to do it today for the first time in 50 years, I couldn't. I intend to practice and regain this lost sound.
Write to us at Letters, All Things Considered, National Public Radio, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. Our zip code is 20001. Or you can send us email. That address is atc@npr.org. Please remember to include your town and guidance on how you pronounce your name.